Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories, trends, and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is Sunday, July 12th, 2026, which means today we are looking back at the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, July 11th. Welcome to episode 454.
We have a really fascinating mix of stories today, Mike. We are going to talk about an incredible human endurance record that had the HN community in awe, a deep dive into the somewhat controversial strict tables feature in SQLite, and a show HN for a new JavaScript runtime that sparked a massive debate about AI-generated code.
Plus, we will unpack a financial analysis of the GPU boom that has some people whispering about a house of cards. And we will wrap up with GhostFont, a clever new typography project designed to be readable by humans but invisible to AI.
Let us kick things off with something completely offline. The top story yesterday was about Kelsey Fendler, a U.S. rower who just completed a historic solo journey from California to Hawaii. She spent nearly a month and a half at sea in a 21-foot rowboat named Lily.
The numbers on this are just staggering, Sarah. She covered over 2,400 miles and finished in just under 44 days. To put that in perspective, the previous comparable female record was 86 days, and the male record was 52 days. She absolutely shattered both of them.
It really is incredible. She has been a professional raft guide on the Colorado River since she was 18, so she knows water. But the middle of the Pacific is a whole different beast. She documented the whole thing on social media, talking about blistered hands, fighting the wind to get some sleep, and making her own fresh water.
I always love seeing these kinds of stories on Hacker News. In a community where we spend so much of our time optimizing digital systems and staring at screens, there's always this profound respect for raw, analog human endurance. The comments were full of people just marveling at the mental fortitude required to be completely alone on the ocean for 44 days. It is the ultimate unplugged experience.
Definitely. And from the ultimate unplugged experience, let us pivot to one of the most widely used pieces of software in the world. Our next story is a blog post by Evan Hahn titled "Prefer Strict Tables in SQLite."
Ah, yes, SQLite. It is famous for a lot of things, but one of its quirks is flexible typing. Historically, SQLite will let you put basically anything into any column. You can create an integer column and then just insert the text string garbage into it, and SQLite will happily store it.
Which is great for flexibility, but as Evan points out in his post, it can lead to some pretty subtle and annoying bugs. He is advocating for a feature introduced back in late 2021 in version 3.37, which is the strict keyword. If you add strict to the end of your table definition, SQLite suddenly acts like a traditional SQL database. It will throw an error if you try to put text in an integer column.
The Hacker News comments on this were fantastic, as they always are for database architecture. Simon Willison actually chimed in. He saw the post and was inspired to add a new feature to his popular SQLite utils Python library that lets you easily transform non-strict tables into strict ones from the command line. That is the magic of Hacker News right there. An article gets posted, and a few hours later, open source tools are being updated because of it.
I love when that happens. But the comments also highlighted why strict is not the default. The SQLite developers actually have a whole page in their documentation defending flexible typing. A commenter named DFabulish pointed out that flexible typing makes it easier to ingest messy data, like a chaotic CSV file, without losing anything.
Right, and there's the backward compatibility angle. SQLite has a legendary commitment to not breaking old software. If they made strict tables the default tomorrow, thousands of legacy applications would suddenly start throwing errors. So it has to be opt-in. But the consensus in the comments seemed to be that for any new greenfield project, opting into strict tables is absolutely the way to go. It just saves you from your own typos.
Speaking of typos and code quality, let us talk about our third story. It was a show HN for a project called Ant, billed as a lightweight JavaScript runtime and ecosystem. The author described it as having its own JavaScript engine, a package manager, and a desktop app builder similar to Electron.
This one got really spicy in the comments, Sarah. The author claimed in the post that the engine, called Ant Silver, was hand-built, but the Hacker News detectives quickly went to work.
They sure did. A commenter named Takax pointed out an issue from earlier this year, showing that the original codebase was heavily lifted from an existing AGPL project called Elk.
The author defended themselves in the thread, saying they deleted that old codebase back in February and rewrote it from the ground up, claiming nothing goes past them unreviewed and untested now.
But the community was highly skeptical. People found older blog posts from the author talking about building a JavaScript engine in 1 month, which read very much like an AI-generated summary of someone else's Git log. One commenter bluntly said, "It is not hand-built, it is hand-prompted."
Hand-prompted. That is a phrase we are going to be hearing a lot more, I think. It sparked a huge debate about the current state of software development. Someone pointed out that we are past the slop era, and this is just how coding works now, using LLMs and AI agents to do the heavy lifting. But others argued that claiming something is hand-built when it is heavily generated by AI is essentially false advertising.
And if the AI drama was not enough, there was also a massive pile-on about the name. Calling a developer tool Ant when Apache Ant has existed for decades and Ant Design is a massive UI framework in a JavaScript world really rubbed people the wrong way. It just goes to show that if you post a show HN, you need to have thick skin because the community will inspect every single claim you make.
Absolutely. Moving from AI-generated code to the hardware that powers it, our next story is a fascinating financial piece from the IO Fund titled NVIDIA, CoreWeave, and Nebulous, Inside the Circular Financing of the GPU Boom.
This is a deep dive into the economics of neoclouds. These are companies like CoreWeave that specialize in providing fast access to the latest NVIDIA GPUs. The article points out that hyperscalers like Microsoft and Meta have committed over $120 billion to these neoclouds.
The core question the article asks is why? Why are Microsoft and Meta, who have their own massive data centers, paying startups for compute? The optimistic answer is that neoclouds can deploy infrastructure much faster, sometimes in just weeks, and they have software that optimizes GPU utilization better than the big guys.
But the pessimistic answer, the bear case, is all about accounting. By leasing capacity from CoreWeave, Microsoft and Meta can shift their massive AI spending from capital expenditures, which sit heavily on the balance sheet, to operating expenses spread out over multi-year contracts.
And here is where this circular financing comes in. NVIDIA is actually investing billions of dollars into these neoclouds. So NVIDIA gives money to CoreWeave. CoreWeave uses that money plus a mountain of debt backed by those Microsoft contracts to buy GPUs from NVIDIA. The article even notes that NVIDIA has provided a $6.3 billion backstop to CoreWeave, promising to buy back unused GPU capacity if CoreWeave cannot sell it.
The comments on Hacker News were drawing some intense historical parallels. Someone brought up Webvan and the dot-com bubble, pointing out how telecom companies used to invest in startups just so the startups would buy their server hardware. It inflates the total addressable market artificially.
Exactly. If NVIDIA is essentially guaranteeing the purchase of unused GPUs, some commenters were questioning how that revenue should even be recognized on NVIDIA's books. Is it a real sale, or is it more like a consignment arrangement?
Though another commenter made a really good counterpoint. They argued this is actually a brilliant strategic head by NVIDIA. Hyperscalers like Google and Meta are desperately trying to design their own AI chips to get away from NVIDIA's high margins. By funding and arming these neocloud startups, NVIDIA is essentially funding direct competitors to their biggest customers, ensuring that there will always be a market for their full hardware stock. It is high-stakes poker at the infrastructure level.
It really is, and it is definitely a space we will keep watching as these multi-billion-dollar debt facilities mature. Let us wrap up today with a really fun experiment in human-computer interaction. The story is called Ghost Font, a font that humans can read but AI cannot.
This is such a cool concept. If you go to the website, it looks like a box of static noise. But when the video plays, the static dots start moving and the motion reveals the shapes of letters. Because human eyes are highly tuned to detect motion, we can read the words. But if you take a screenshot, it just looks like random noise.
The creator built this to defeat optical character recognition and modern multimodal AI models. They even added a decoy message. If you look really closely at the static noise, there is a very faint hidden message that says, written in ghost text. The idea is that an AI will analyze the image, find the decoy text, and assume it solved the puzzle, completely missing the actual moving text.
It is a brilliant modern take on steganography. But Hacker News being Hacker News, the community immediately set out to break it, and they did.
Of course they did. How long did it take?
Not long at all. A commenter named Kiro fed the video into GPT 5.6. They did not even give it any special instructions, just asked what it said.
The AI extracted the frames, ran a temporal analysis with optical flow, mapped the vertical displacement of the pixels, and perfectly read the hidden text. It completely ignored the decoy.
Wow, so much for the anti-AI font. But it is a great demonstration of how advanced these models have become at video analysis. They are not just looking at static frames anymore, they are actually understanding temporal changes across time.
Yeah, and there was also a really interesting human accessibility angle in the comments. A lot of people said they could not read the moving text at all. It gave them a headache, kind of like those old Magic Eye posters from the 90s. Meanwhile, depending on the pixel density of their phone screens, some people could only read the decoy text. So ironically, it might be a font that AI can read perfectly with optical flow math, but humans struggle with.
The creator mentioned they wanted to explore using this for CAPTCHAs, but given that AI solved it in an afternoon, we might need to keep looking for the ultimate Turing test.
That is the reality of building in 2026. The gap between human perception and AI capability just keeps closing.
It certainly does. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. We covered a lot of ground, from rowing across the Pacific to strict database types, AI-generated JavaScript runtimes, the economics of the GPU bubble, and optical flow defeating anti-AI fonts.
If you want to dive deeper into any of these discussions, you can find all the links to the original articles and the Hacker News threads in our show notes.
Thanks for joining us for episode 454 of HN Pod. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. We will be back tomorrow to bring you the best of what is trending on Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.